referendum. We've organised this week to give people a chance to listen to the arguments for a no vote on June 11th, and also to get people involved and work on the ground to try and make sure we get that vote in terms of leaflet and poster and getting the arguments across to other people. We've four speakers on the panel. We have someone else promised who's been delayed, but we'll let these people speak here for 4 or 5 minutes each, and then we'll open up to the floor for any questions or any points people want to make. Our first speaker is from the Union of Students in Ireland, which represents a quarter of a million students in the country and has come out very strongly against the referendum and called on all its members to work for a no vote on June 11th. The USI Deputy President Gareth Keogh was here, and he's going to speak first.
Okay, thank you. How are you doing? My name is Gareth Keogh. I'm the Deputy President in the Union of Students in Ireland. I've been asked to come here to represent USI to actually say why we're actually going for a no vote. I think I was talking to Fianna Fáil there recently, and common sense and loophole seemed to be the two bywords that came out from his mouth every time he mentioned the referendum. However, very little came after this. And this seems to be everything. If you look around at the posters that are going up from the two government parties, it's common sense referendum. It seems something simple. It almost seems as if we're sewing up a seam, something that's been ripped by accident. But this referendum is anything but. Our citizenship has been born here and given. Citizenship as a right of birth has been around here since 1921 in legislation, predating the foundation of the state. So this is nothing. This is nothing new. There's also been enshrined since the Good Friday Agreement, possibly the most progressive thing that has happened in this country in the past 50 years. So what are the government saying against us? They've given us no facts and they've given us no figures. The only figures that they have given us have been skewed, to say the least. The facts are low on the ground. The only facts we have heard is that our maternity hospitals are bursting, that our health services is under pressure. Well, I don't think anyone will actually disagree that our health service is under pressure. However, the reason for this is not because of immigrants. The reason for this is because of failed policies of the past governments. I think we can all remember when Charlie Haughey went on television, even as a child remember this, and we were told to tighten our belts while he wore Charvet shirts. This is ever since the cutbacks are happening there, and anyone in the health service will actually tell you that this is the reason why our health service is on its knees at this moment in time. It's the reason why we've been told we have a first world economy, but we have a third world health service. If you want to talk about foreign, really foreign nationals and in the health service, all you have to do is go into the any casualty department and you see that that we are highly dependent on foreign national doctors. Not only 5,000 Filipino nurses, we depend on these people when we're sick, when we're aged. Even going back to the 5,000 Filipino nurses, these are people who work in one of the hardest jobs and thankless jobs in this country. Yeah, and we do depend on them heavily. These people come over to our country, they look after us when we're sick, they pay taxes. And now what we're saying to them, yeah, you're welcome over here, look after us, take care of us, clean up after us. But by God, whatever you do, do not have a child in this country. Do not have a child in this country. To give you an example, a Filipino nurse and an Irish nurse have a child maternity ward at this moment in time. Both are seen as equals. Both are seen as Irish citizens. Both are given the basic rights that any human being born in this country should be given. However, a yes vote in this referendum will say one thing. As soon as you're born in this country, you're automatically at a disadvantage. You're automatically seen as an outsider in a country of your birth. This is why USI is going for a no vote. At our Congress, which happened a couple of months ago, there was an emergency motion put in against this referendum. The general mood on the floor was that there was no need for this referendum. The general mood on the floor was that the only reason for this referendum was a smokescreen to gain political advantage. But to hide the actual troubles that we're having in our health service. This is the reason why. There's no reason for this referendum. We do not want this referendum. This referendum is based on hearsay and conjecture. If you want me to change my constitution, you have to come out with precise figures, not hearsay. You think a minister that's meant to be a highly qualified barrister would actually know this, but unfortunately not. This is why, and as to quote the poster going around, I've been given no facts, I've been given no figures, I've been given no reason for this referendum. So this is why we've gone out and very strongly urge a no vote. And I won't waste your time and say, go out there, tell your friends, canvass your neighbourhoods, and get everyone to vote no. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Garrett. Another organisation which is... called on people to reject the referendum is the National Women's Council of Ireland, which represents over 160 women's organisations throughout the country. The director of the Women's Council, Joanna McBean, is here, and she's going to give us the reason why the Women's Council has adopted that position.
Thanks. Good evening, everyone. The National Women's Council represents 160 organisations, and that actually represents over 300,000 women. And we carried out, just to tell you, we carried out a consultation with our membership. We're a democratic organisation, sent out concerns and sent out the document from the Irish Council of Civil Liberties and Human Rights Commission around concerns with this referendum, and asked our members to send back submissions and their own views, and then held a consultation meeting. So we had a very strong consensus that the National Women's Council should oppose this referendum and urge the women's vote out to vote no against it. And so we are mobilising all our members around the country, sending leaflets out and so on. So, and the reasons why that came out of that consultation were very first and foremost that this referendum scapegoats women and children to change the constitution, and women and blames women really for the under-resourcing of the maternity services, which women's groups and women's organisations have been addressing for a long time, the cutbacks in health services. So that's a very strong feeling that we have, that, and in particular women who are very vulnerable in the last stages of pregnancy, and nobody has asked those women why they risk their health. Why they're going for late, very late, presenting very late at maternity hospitals, what impact the cost of maternity or going into the labour wards might be, and how prohibitive that might be, and so on. But nobody, you never hear the voice of women who are affected by this. So the National Women's Council feels very strongly that that is not acceptable, and we have a very strong commitment to supporting those women. The second reason is that we feel that the government has failed to act on an immigration policy, and we want to see a fair and comprehensive immigration policy. We need an immigration policy, but one that's based on compassion and recognises the rights of women and children under international human rights instruments. A third reason is that it undermines the integrity of the Good Friday Agreement, and the Northern Ireland Women's Coalition, which is affiliated to the Women's Council, has taken a very strong position. They actually helped negotiate the Good Friday Agreement, and there is no doubt that there are interests that would like to see the Good Friday Agreement dismantled, rewritten, undermined. And you can be sure that if this referendum is successful, that that is what will happen. The DUP will be delighted. And the final reason is the misinformation and confusion. There is no substantive evidence. People have said there's no research been done. There are no proper statistics. And people are constantly saying the government keeps changing its reasons for why this is necessary. So for all those reasons, the National Women's Council is urging people to vote no on the referendum. And there's lots of leaflets there at the back if you'd like to take piles of them and distribute them. Or if anybody wants to volunteer and help us distribute them, we're going to be at DART stations and so on over the next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanna. As Joanna was saying, there's plenty of copies of this leaflet at the back. It's a very good leaflet. There's other leaflets as well. There's leaflets from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties and the campaign's own leaflets, so please take as many of them as you can distribute over the next week or so. It's appropriate that we're meeting here in Liberty Hall because there's been widespread opposition within the trade union movement to the referendum. There's been several trades councils that have called on people to vote no on Friday week, including here in Dublin. And Desmond Ast from the executive of the Dublin Council for Trade Unions is our next speaker. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for inviting us along. At a meeting of the Dublin Council of Trade Unions, we passed a resolution condemning the referendum and also calling on all trade unions to vote no. I'll just explain to you that that would seem a terrific thing to happen because the Dublin Council of Trade Unions would have 29 unions affiliated to it and would have 228 delegates. So it was an important decision because other trade unions then throughout the country then follow the example of the Dublin Council of Trade Unions, Waterford, Cork and a few others that names I haven't got at the moment. But it was important that decision was made. The only thing about it is that putting that decision into a campaigning situation hasn't been as successful as it should have been because the Irish Congress of Trade Unions have come out, but in a lesser way they've said that they don't agree with the timing or the wording of the legislation. So it's important that it was done, but I want to make the point is that while we're campaigning within our own unions, there's still a lot of work to be done in the trade union movement to work to bring it around to our way of thinking. When Fine Gael launched his campaign to vote yes on this amendment or this referendum, they talked about that the wording was wrong. They were very concerned. This is Enda Kenny speaking. It was wrong timing. It would cause disunity. It was wrong to have it. And then he said, but we're asking people to vote yes. And this is the kind of attitude that prevails politically within the political parties at the moment. The timing is dead on. They want it this time. They want it to. It's done deliberately because of the local and European elections. It's peddling racism, and this racism has been peddled so long in this country. We know this. This is not new. This isn't just happened because of the local and European elections. We have a racist organisations here, members of the All Ireland, members of the government, members of the trade union movement in some respects as well, and racism has been peddled here, so this is not something new that has happened. It's our job to stop racism, whether it's in the workplace, in the trade union movement, wherever it is, but it is there, and we have to recognise that, unfortunately. This is a misleading referendum. It's scaremongering, it's smearing, it's bigoted. It's all these things that we in Ireland have been complaining about for years and years and years. It's a smokescreen, and there's misinformation about it. And the race card has definitely been played here by the Fianna Fáil party and the PDs and the Fine Gael party. I mean, there's no difference here in what the Conservative Party done in Britain at the last general election and the election before that. And that's the situation we're in. And I don't want to be scaremongering everyone here, but that's the situation. As I've seen it, I've been now canvassing as well on the doorstep, and we're getting this kind of a feedback, which is very disappointing, and it makes you feel that you're ashamed to be party of. We're not party of it, but we're in a country where a government that we elected, I didn't elect, but there are electors, they're running the country, and I'm ashamed to be a member of a country, or a resident, or a citizen of a country that has moved so far to the right and become so racist. It's a political racist appeal to the unknowledgeable. That's not to say that people are in any way uneducated, but the whole smear of it, the whole disguising of it, the way the campaign has been run, and just referring to this, the referendum on the Irish citizenship, this that everyone got in their door, and they got this morning, just looking at it. I think the referendum commission leaves a lot to think about. It appears biased to yes from what I'm reading about it. I don't think that it certainly in any way gives an unbiased reference, because it says this booklet, which is published by the referendum commission, is designed to help you make a decision by giving you information on the referendum proposal. It does not outline the arguments for and against acceptance of the referendum. The referendum commission does not have a role in outlining these arguments. You will need to follow the debate which has taken place in order to understand the arguments and then decide how you cast your vote. There's no debate taking place. Because we at a previous meeting challenged the Fianna Fáil, the PDs and Fine Gael, or whoever, to come and debate this, either in the print media or in the television or wherever you want to debate it. There's no debate taking place. So the commission is incorrect. And it's misleading to suggest that once you get this booklet and you've read it, that you will be knowledgeable and you will know what way to vote. It is not happening because there's no debate, and they say they have to have a debate. That's my initial reaction to that. They say the trade councils have come out against it, and the Irish Council of Trade Union have disagreed in certain ways. I think we should challenge at this late stage even. Should challenge a debate at this late stage. Certainly, it looks like, unfortunately, that the people are so not knowledgeable enough about it. And when you talk about it, they say, oh, it's the European election. It's anything to do with the European election. No, this is a separate thing altogether. I don't think we should let it go. I don't think we should give the government the power, or the Oireachtas the power. I think we should stop the Oireachtas having the power to change current legislation. And we should vote no. And anyone in the trade union, we should campaign with your unions. You should go back to the unions. There's a lot of support there. It's just getting out. It's just talking to people. It's just getting the information around. As I say, it's a political racist election. You should keep that, hitting that at home. This is not going to be the end of this. This is only the start. It's only the tip of the iceberg. And if we don't stand up and do something now about it and hopefully get in a good vote, and maybe at this late stage even overturn what's happening, certainly if you're in doubt, you should say to people, you should throw it out and vote no. And that's what trade union movement should have been saying, should take out pages. We in the unions, and my own union, the Amalgamated Transatlantic Workers Union, we've opposed it, we've talked to Congress, we're looking for a full page ad next week in the papers, so to ask all trade union people to vote no. And that's what it stands in trade union at the moment. I hope we're successful, but I think it's the most disgusting and disgraceful and saddest thing that's ever happened in this country at the moment. We should be welcoming people here, not we should be welcoming people here, not telling them they can't come here. The Irish have very little to talk about. There's, 14 million Irish living all in other parts of the world. And if we were to be treated like that when we were emigrating, wherever parts and corners of the earth we're emigrating to, this is a total disgrace. And we should hold our heads down and hold our heads in shame at what we're doing here in this country. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Des. A final speaker before we open up to the floor is from Residents Against Racism, which has been working against racism for a number of years and was involved in setting up the campaign against the referendum along with other groups. Rosanna Flynn from Residents Against Racism is the next speaker.
Hello everyone, thank you very much for coming along. Now, it should have been one of Residents Against Racism's members who is actually an asylum seeker and mother of an Irish-born child who should have been speaking here tonight. I'm taking Monica's place because she is not well. She's pregnant and isn't too well tonight. And I'm sure she could have spoken from a much better viewpoint than I can. She's actually there. She's actually suffering from what's going on. Now, I've spoken a few times about this referendum, and each time, I thought tonight I'll start in a different way tonight. Before, I've always started with cherish all children of the nation equally from the Declaration of Independence. And I really came to the conclusion on the bus coming down here that I just can't start from a better point. That's what it's about. This referendum is targeting children. The referendum is racist, purely racist. Since 1921, any child born in the country has been entitled to be an Irish citizen. There's never been a problem with that before. We've seen recently in the newspapers stuff about rich people coming to Ireland to have children, a few rich people, very few, and going away again. No one's ever worried about that. In fact, passports were being sold not too long ago to allow wealthy people to come to Ireland. So it only became a problem, actually, when some of the children being born here to non-nationals were black and of Eastern European appearance. That's the only time it was perceived as being a problem by the government, well, perceived as being a problem that they could actually use to cover up the way they have let Irish people down with the health service, with housing, successive governments have fallen down very, very badly. And it's also actually a class issue. There was never a problem with wealthy people of different ethnicity coming here. It's about poor people coming here, desperate people. And particularly among this group, the people they've been targeting are pregnant women. And they were talking about large numbers of women in advanced stages of pregnancy coming here. There have been very few, actually. And we in Residents Against Racism have met some of those few women. And I can tell you how desperate their cases are and were. The fact that any woman would travel in late pregnancy, and two of the women, the, what is it, three, four women that I've met who did that, two of them, it was a first pregnancy, and they were traveling on their own from Africa. Now, a first pregnancy is a very, very frightening thing in the best of circumstances, even if you are comfortable and you are well looked after and you have a loving family and friends around you. It must be a very frightening thing, the idea of giving birth for the first time. I don't have any children, but I know that I would find it extremely frightening to give birth for the first time. And to take it upon yourself to travel to the other side of the world, to a totally unknown place, on your own, I tell you, it has to be an extremely urgent reason. A young woman approached me just after the demonstration we had on Saturday with a young child in a buggy, and she told me her story briefly. She is from eastern Nigeria, and she got pregnant and in a little village, and she was actually threatened with death, and she came here on her own, which must have been an appalling thing that she has been through. To actually get here and then find out that there's no help for her, or it would seem that there is going to be very little help for her here. What do they think women are? You know, this whole thing, it's anti-children, it's anti-women. It's not a loophole in the Constitution. They keep telling us it's a loophole to come into line with Europe. Now, for one thing, Europe cannot force us to come into line. They haven't even asked us to come into line, so-called. It's not a loophole. It's a fundamental change. I know there are a few lawyers in the audience, and I'm sure that they will back me up on that one. It's a fundamental change to take away that right of children born in Ireland. Now, I was in a debate the other night with a group of prominent politicians on the yes side, and one of them said it would be good manners to follow Europe. It should be done out of good manners, because after all, we did it on direct provision, right? That is when we decided to give asylum seekers €19 a week, put them in a hostel, and give them food, which for the most part is unpalatable to them. We don't let people work, you know, and we need workers, as we would know from the amount of migrant workers, thousands of migrant workers that come here. Now, it was a very bad move that England made. It was a bad regulation they brought in. Why did Ireland slavishly feel that they had to follow this policy? And the politician who said this actually is a member of Fianna Fáil, you know, the so-called Republican Party. Yes, England did it, so we really had to do it too. Now, they've also, at the beginning, were suggesting that we were the only country in the world. They actually said the only country in Europe. And I should point out that England had similar laws to Ireland until Margaret Thatcher was in power. Well, need I say more, really, you know? But there are over 40 other countries in the world, including America, Canada, New Zealand, many other countries, who have similar laws to Ireland. We are not alone in the world. In fact, America considered changing their laws and decided not to. So this is a terrible thing. The last thing I would like to say that is the very obvious thing, that the history of Ireland is a history of people having to leave our shores for various reasons, very similar reasons to the same reasons, actually, of people coming here now, a mixture of political reasons and reasons of poverty. Surely everyone is entitled to have a reasonable lifestyle for themselves and their children. Ireland has been the proof that it actually works, that Irish people went to America, Canada, many to England. My own great-grandmother was one of them. She went because of poverty. And they made their way in England. They made very positive contributions in all these countries. And many asylum seekers will do that here. I can think of one member of Residents Against Racism, an African man who was nearly deported. We intervened, got a lawyer out to Dublin Airport, and his deportation was stopped. Spent a bit of time in Mountjoy. Well, he's now, he's got his status, he's working hard. He has a lovely family, and he's applied for Irish citizenship. And I know that that family will make a very valuable contribution to Ireland. So, on the grounds of our history, on humanitarian grounds, and on the grounds of children's rights, please, let's all get together, all the various political parties and groups who are advocating a no vote, let's have a last push and get it over a bit stronger. Let's all get together and do it, because I believe that we can.